morning. Special communion Sabbath, and I just want you to go with me in your Bibles for a brief look at the story of a king. Psalms 44. Psalms 44. And I think it's verse 11. Psalms 44 is an interesting psalm. David's to have a bit of a gripe with the Lord. Or the author, not sure if David wrote this psalm actually, but the author of this psalm has a bit of a gripe with the Lord. But we're just going to look at one verse as the introduction. And by the way, if you're reading your Bible through this year, or you're thinking about it, I would encourage you to get a brand new Bible. Get one from Walmart if you need to. Get one from this was Amazon.com Bible. It was less than $15. And then get yourself a pen, whatever your favorite pen color is, and mark your Bible as you go. It's a wonderful experience. So Psalms 44 and verse 11 says, "You have given us up like sheep intended for food." He's speaking to Roth, or he's speaking to God. "And have scattered us among the nations." Back to the story. So the author of this psalm is saying, God, you've given us up to our enemies. You didn't even go to battle with us, he says in verse 9. You didn't even go to battle with us. You just let us go like we're forgotten. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And in fact, the author of Psalms 44 brings to attention, our attention, a very important part of Israel's history and even Christian history. And that is this: when God's people were not faithful to Him, He allowed them to be overcome by their enemies. Because there's something about human nature that when we're in crisis, we cry out for help. How many of you go to the doctors every 6 months? Yes, there are a couple that go to the doctor every 6 months. How many of you go to the doctor every 6 months if you had a medical condition? You see, that's part of... Now, I'm not advocating necessarily going to the doctor every 6 months, but there is something about us as human beings that we put off important things until we can't afford to put them off any longer. Look with me at so Ahaz, if you want to see this, you can go back in your Bibles a couple of chapters to chapter 2 Chronicles chapter... We're in chapter... Oh, I was close. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, 22 says, Ahaz, who is the grandfather of King Manasseh, Ahaz says this: Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord, and that was in the time of his distress. So here is Ahaz. He's becoming increasingly unfaithful. The more difficulty he has, the more he worships the gods of the nations. Well, God lets it continue to be difficult. And then God brings his son, Hezekiah, onto the scene. Hezekiah begins to reign at the age of 12. Hezekiah has a fairly long reign. Hezekiah is a faithful king. And one of the first things Hezekiah does is he restores the temple service, chapter 29. He calls the priests in, and he calls them to seeking the Lord and to doing God's will and fulfilling their calling as priests. So Hezekiah begins a time of revival. Hezekiah's life comes to an end, and his son Manasseh takes his place. And Manasseh reigned for 55, almost all of those 55 years, wicked years. In fact, Manasseh, the Bible says in Kings, sheds much blood. Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 21. We'll come back to 1 Kings 33, 2 Kings 33, but 2 Kings 21 for just a moment. 2 Kings chapter 21. And verse 21, verse 9. Says this. 2 Kings 21:9. "But they paid no attention." What did they not pay attention to? Paid no attention to God's instructions. "Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed." So Israel was not just having a bad day in their walk with the Lord. They were literally more wicked than the nations that God had kicked out of the land of the promised land, for the Israelites to inhabit their land. They were doing more wickedness than the nations they had been replacing. The Lord spoke by His servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, in verse 12, therefore thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such a calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle. Both his ears will tingle. So here's this idea coming in. You can go back to 2 Chronicles 33 now. Here's this idea coming up in the story of Manasseh. That when God's people disobeyed Him, He allowed or even arranged circumstances in such a way that they would be brought to a place where they would be desperate enough to seek help. Desperate enough to seek help. And do you know, even with King Manasseh, as wicked as he was, leading the people of Israel to be more wicked than the nations that whose land Israel had been given, that when Manasseh became desperate enough and he sought the Lord, do you know what? God heard Manasseh. Look with me at this remarkable story. It's recorded only in the book, in the record of Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of King Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks. And Dan, would you put that picture on the screen? I want you to see what they probably did to Manasseh. Here is a picture of an Assyrian king, and he's literally got hooks in the faces of his captives. The times got so bad that God said, Manasseh, I'm turning you over to the Assyrians. Esarhaddon was the son of Sennacherib. Sennacherib had harassed Israel during the time of Hezekiah. Esarhaddon is the Assyrian king in control of Babylon at this time, puts hooks in Manasseh, literally puts hooks in Manasseh, and takes him as captive back to Babylon, the Bible says there in verse 11. Now when he was in what? Verse 12, when he was in what? When he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. And he, speaking of God, received his entreaty. This king was responsible for the death of prophet Isaiah, the gospel prophet. He was responsible. The story goes that Isaiah was put in a log and the log was cut in two. Responsible for shedding much blood, for leading Israel into the worst apostasy ever in Israel's history. Manasseh is hooked, taken to Babylon. And in Babylon, in that cell, wherever he was put, he must have bowed to God. Perhaps he just prostrated himself before him. He said, God, and he began to repent. He humbled himself. And the Bible says God heard the cry of Manasseh. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Remarkable short piece, the story of Manasseh. I told you it was going to be short this morning, and this is really the end. But here's my point. My point is really a question to you. When God's people were not seeking Him, He allowed them to come into circumstances that would make them desperate enough to seek God's face. When they sought God's face, even when they were as wicked as Manasseh, God always responded and He heard. The question I want to pose to you this morning as we break for service is, how desperate do you need to be before, or do we need to be, do I need to be, before I'll cry out to God and humble myself before Him and seek the Lord until I find Him? How desperate do you need to be, drug off like Manasseh to some dark, desperate situation in your life? What needs to happen in your life before you'll cry out to God and say, God, I'm done. I'm tired of running my life. I'm tired of doing a half deal with you. I'm all in. What will it take to bring you to that point of desperation, which is the beginning of personal and corporate revival? So as you think about that question, as you think about the story of Manasseh, I will invite you to respond in this communion and foot washing service. We have the ladies meeting in the fellowship hall, the gentlemen meeting in the classroom down the